This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. Joining you as co-host is Ryan Cozy, and I come to you every week on Christ Together Radio, Saturdays at 9 a.m., Sundays at 12 noon. Also online, you can check us out at WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs, scroll down to Christ Together Radio. You can find out more about Ryan and myself if you'd like to, or you can also check out past episodes or programs that we've done here on Christ Together Radio. Christ Together Radio is a program designed to just make you aware of what God is doing in the Western New York area. As we know that God is on mission. He's never not been on mission, really, since the resurrection of his son, Jesus. And we know that he has had a mission for the 12 apostles, 12 disciples, and it carried on and grew. And that mission is ours to carry on today. And we believe he's working in Western New York. And we want to bring that to you so that you can have a chance to get involved, be encouraged, and also take Christ to your workplace or to wherever God would have you. That's the call of the Great Commission, is to share Christ as you go. And so today, and last week also, we had this guy on, this Trenda guy, and is sitting right here, and you're going to get to know a little bit more about him today if you listened last week. And Dan's been with Crew for, what, 12 years now?
Yep, 12 years.
12 years he's been with Crew, and has joined them in the Buffalo area to help reach college students with the gospel. And we're just glad to bring his story to you today. I think today we'll get into a little bit more detail into what his local context looks like and kind of some of the things that are going on there. And Ryan, as we kind of bounced around a little bit last week about what campus ministry looks like, this week I think we're talking about getting more into some of the stories, because I think some people have this natural anxiety to what a college campus might look like if a Christian were to step onto it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there are realities of, like, look, you know, our country is becoming more and more of a liberal country. And historically, this isn't just in the United States. We see this all throughout Europe. Things like the Frankfurt School in Germany, historically, universities tend to be bastions of liberalism. But, you know, one of the things that I just want for people to not do with that is feel like you can't engage on a college campus, that there aren't ways to be tangibly linked to some good things that are going on college campuses. And, you know, we talked about this at the break, but I think this is really important to understand, is that people are still searching, and there are still very deep questions that people have to ask. Issues around pain and suffering, issues around those who have not heard the gospel, issues around sexual identity, issues around marriage institutionally, issues around science and mathematics. If you take an approach where you just want to plug your ears and you don't want to engage, well, you know, candidly, this probably isn't the best show for you. But what I would say to that end is, if you're willing to not plug your ears, I think what you'll see in this next hour is there are still very tangible evidences of God moving in the lives of people. Yes, even on college campuses and universities today. And we're not talking just about Christian universities. We're talking about secular, humanist research universities right here in our backyard. And I would just lovingly challenge people. It is a fantastically fertile soil for gospel presence and gospel proclamation. We don't control conversion. Mm. But what I would tell you is this: there, I cannot think of many other places where you can get into deep and meaningful conversations about faith. It may not mean that you actually lead someone to faith, but our job is to be faithfully present and to offer proclamation of the hope of the gospel that we have, and trust God for the outcome of if somebody will convert or not. And so I'm looking forward to diving into that.
We end up bearing the weight of that so much, and if there's anything that you can see over the trend of what we, even the people we've presented to. Yeah. To the audience on Christ Together Radio, is that it's very obvious that it's God who does the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And we just kind of share it, and we let the Holy Spirit draw out and call, and it doesn't really matter on what side of the justification debate you end on. Mm-hmm. it's a God work.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we're released a little bit. But it still can be a little nervous. But, Dan, as we get into our next segment, we're just going to be ending this one, and we get full-fledged into our next segment. I want to hear from you, maybe some of your experiences and what happens when you begin to talk with a student, a college student, about the gospel, and kind of where you see that trend happening. Maybe just some examples or some folks that have really stuck out in your mind that you've just watched God move. And you're a really smart guy, but I don't think you have every possible answer that as you walk around the college campus with this book of knowledge, you know, that I know everything. And no, but you've watched God work and pick up the pieces where you are weak. And so looking forward to hearing from that.
Yeah, well, even what Cozy was saying, that we can't control which of the four soils they are, but we know biblically that some will fall in good soil, but not all will fall in good soil. And so we just trust God and keep scattering the seed.
It's freeing, isn't it? We were talking earlier in our break just about the freeing power of the gospel to give us joy in our lives and to just let us not bear the weight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Christians, we forget to have fun too. Right.
Not me.
Not you, Ryan. You're
I've got all fun all the time.
You are one wild and crazy guy.
I am like fun old, central.
Life's kid.
Just
all right,
control.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm going to take us to the break before we get off the rails here. Christ Together Radio here on WDCX. Stay tuned.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson. Ryan Cozy as well, as we join you every week as co-host here on Christ Together Radio. Dan Trenda from Crew joining us in studio today. And Dan is the lead director. Team leader of Crew Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, we were talking earlier about just how college campuses can be scary. And it's a liberal atmosphere. Ryan explained it really well, just how that takes place, and it's a reality, but yet the gospel is the truth, and we have the truth. And it can be scary for people, can it, though, going onto a college campus?
Yeah, it is a different environment, and one thing I talk about specifically in the ministry realm is that our two closest, you know, associations are, you know, the younger kids in children's ministry, and we are very different than children's ministry, you know, even high school ministry, you know, because nobody's there because their parents force them in college ministry. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're on the college campus.
Yeah.
But then we don't fall into adult ministry, which is typically reaching out to those that are already connected and providing them the right kind of program or opportunity for growth or what it might be, where we have nobody that wants to do what we offer, you know, and even if we do a good job, everybody leaves. You know, I joke that if we stay the same size, we're growing because we're always losing seniors. And so there's some unique challenges to campus ministry.
You know, in a college environment, it's an academic environment, and the understanding of the gospel as far as an apologetic for the faith is an academic pursuit, at least initially. And as the Holy Spirit begins to work, it becomes very much a spiritual pursuit. So there's that angst there that people might feel if they're not versed in it. But college kids are just like everybody else, right? They just want to be loved, cared for, and they have the same basic needs that everybody else has, right?
Absolutely. And I think even to what you were just sharing there, that the environment of the college campus plays really well into a clear presentation and demonstration as well of the gospel, because it's an environment of learning. And so they are outwardly, you know, shuffling off to lecture hall after lecture hall where somebody tells them something they didn't know when they woke up that morning that they need to remember. And inwardly, they're on a journey, of course, of growing into adulthood. And so I think it's just an ideal time to intersect with what God might be already doing in their lives.
So anything that pops in your mind that's happened in your time here that's just kind of surprised you in college ministry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there are so many times where somebody will come that you don't think they would come whatsoever. I mean, we talked about this last week where the kind of stigma that's associated with being a Christian, there is always a challenge. And so when you see the real sharp, you know, athletes coming in, when you see people that come in, I remember early on at UB, there was a guy who was brilliant. He was an international student from Russia, and you can tell he was well-read, and I'm thinking, why are you even here? You know, it's like you just wouldn't expect a guy like that to show up. And he wasn't just looking to show off. I mean, he really was genuinely seeking. You know, we said, are they seeking an argument or are they seeking answers? You know, because there's a difference. And you notice that pretty quickly when students start asking questions. But he really was seeking answers. He wasn't just trying to show off, you know, how much he read. So I'm surprised all the time with what happens. And then, of course, the bigger commitments when somebody starts into the discipleship process and is willing to lay aside, you know, the kind of jobs that might be very lucrative, the kind of lifestyle that was what they were living for and what they had come to college probably to attain, and giving that up to really live for the sake of the gospel. It's blows me away. It's part of the fun of the job.
Is there still a great amount of hope and excitement about the world in general on a college campus today? Are there students excited about taking on the world and a new career and a new opportunity and learning, or is it a different atmosphere to try to manage as a minister in that environment?
Yeah, I think generally I would say, yeah, there is an idealism and an excitement that is a really fun part about being involved in college ministry. You know, of course, in what we do, we look at historically almost every major, I've heard some people say every major revival in the modern era has started on a college campus, because there is that kind of that zeal. And when God gets a hold of somebody in that season, it can be really, really powerful. And so for what we're doing, it can be great. It can be great. But there is a lot of pressure on the average college student today. And there's academically, socially, I mean, their lives are on display in their social media accounts. They want it to look great. They want to please their parents. Parents are more involved typically than they used to be a generation ago. And so even in the midst of such opportunity, there are a lot of challenges.
You know, I knew it, but I've never really thought through how social media, I know it affects their lives, but how it affects the college experience. And how, you can't just be a bookworm and not have a great social media account with all these kind of fun things on there. So there's this pressure, right? It just adds to that pressure. And college students today, is this true? This is an assumption I have, and I've heard this, but I don't know if it's true. They're not quite as grown up as they used to be. And maybe not ready for this.
Yeah, I think they're, in some ways they are much more savvy, and in other ways they're more sheltered. It kind of depends on where you poke and where you look, because they've had to grow up really quickly. They are dealing with, I mean, I have little kids now where what they're being asked to learn in kindergarten blows my mind. I think kindergarten was nap time and blocks, you know, but that accelerates every single year. And so by the time you get to college, you're expected to be able to navigate that system really well. But again, it's a generalization, but typically from the helicopter parent generation, they've had a lot of assistance, a lot of oversight, a lot of support from their parents, which the mileage varies widely in terms of how college students navigate that shift from, you know, being in at home through middle school and high school to college. And sometimes it can be very difficult. I remember when I was a student, you know, I left in the fall and I thought, well, I might be home for Thanksgiving, maybe give a call or two in between. It's not uncommon for students to talk to their parents every day now. And it's just different. It's just a different experience for them. And part of that can be really healthy. Part of that can be a challenge for them to grow into adulthood.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I noticed in particular in being connected to the University of Buffalo is I've noticed how the pace has changed, just the pace on a campus. And so, you know, I didn't do my undergrad at UB. I did it at Bowling Green in Ohio, but I did doing my doctoral work at UB. I could just, it was almost like there were times where I had to be intentional to slow the pace of my life down just so that I could make space for less transaction and more introspective thought. And I'm wondering, is the pace on a college campus, is that something that's hard for you as a staffer to manage or to understand? What does that look like? Do you feel like it's past paced like that?
Oh, absolutely. And part of it feels like seasonal work, you know, because they leave for 4 months and they come back and you go from the time you launch at the end of August until December when they hit finals week. And so we absolutely feel that as staff. And then for the students, in terms of how we help them learn and grow, I was just teaching last night on one of the campuses here about a biblical view of success. And like we're talking about here, that the pressures they have are so acute and specific, and that they might not live for the social media account. They might try to just do away with that. They might try to go all into academics, or they might try to go all into athletics or whatever it might be. But everybody's trying to find life somewhere. And so in some ways, because there's so much pressure there, if we can just find the right, you know, lens, you know, the kind of grid biblically to think about and bring the gospel to bear specifically, there is a lot of openness when we say that you don't have to live to build your own reputation, because everybody's flawed. Nobody will be able to go their whole life and just continue to make much of themselves. It just won't be for our best, won't be healthy. God didn't design us that way. and to help steer them to, you know, the freedom of the cross, and that as we have forgiveness in Christ, that that can truly change us from the inside out, and to connect that with some of the things that they're so driven towards, and to help them experience a relationship with God that's meaningful, that helps them walk that out, can be really powerful because the pressure is so high.
Yeah. So with that pace, to that end, and Dan, I know you've been doing this for 12 years now, mm-hmm. right? I also know at the national level that CRU, as a ministry, they've been taking some very deep looks into effectiveness, what's the long-term view of what we're doing. And I think there's a name for guys like you who have stayed in the field, not gone to the office. What's the name for like doing ministry on the cul-de-sac? Is that what they call it?
Oh, well, yeah, there's in-house, I use the term being in the ministry cul-de-sac, where
yeah.
you end up being a field ministry and you just kind of get stuck if you want to go somewhere else.
Right.
But for those that really want to be in the field, there's just a crushing need. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, truly.
So there's a lot of people listening that they don't know what all that entails for you. And I'm just wondering, how do you stay engaged with this long term? I mean, you've got to raise your own support.
Correct.
Yeah. You got to mobilize a bunch of volunteers
and raise their support. Yeah.
and try to convince them to raise their support. You've got to get
It's like a reverse pyramid.
Yeah,
you're all
right.
Losing.
Yeah, you've got to get the pace to slow down for a college student to begin to start thinking this way. Start asking these questions. You know, how do you maintain a view of longevity for this? I think this has got to be really challenging for campus staff right now in ministry like you. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I think there are a number of factors in play with this. I think the biggest one, and maybe this ties in a little bit to what we talked about last week, just as the culture shifts, things are different where the focus now for us, and I think it always should have been, is what God's doing to transform each one of us personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we aren't going to just come to campus and plant a CRU flag, so to speak, and then do all the ministry things right, you know, implement the proper strategies and reach a, you know, monolithic campus with a few tips and tricks that we got because we're connected with CRU nationally. It doesn't work that way. I mean, if it ever did,
yeah.
You know, the campus is so diverse. There is such skepticism towards Christianity and the Christian worldview. That I find if it's not based out of the transformation that God's doing in our lives, it's going to be pretty short-lived because we just won't see the kind of rapid fruit that we would expect if that's what's pulling us along instead of just trusting that God is at work like we talked about in the opening. That's the parable of soils, that there are certain students that are good soil. You know, talk about the concept of it's like a treasure hunt. You know, you're not going to go out there and have 10 out of 10 people just say, yes, what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
But you will see some. You know, we will see just one of the students last week got to lead a student to faith in Christ personally that he connected with at one of our weekly meetings. And it's happening. It happens frequently, yeah. But it doesn't always happen that way. And so just to remain rooted in the reality that I'm here because of God's call in my life,
yeah.
And he's working my life, and I trust that he's at work, and he is absolutely alive and well on the college campus,
yeah.
Even though you wouldn't think when you just knock on the front door and say, hey, what are you guys all about here?
Yeah.
You got to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, so I know we're up against a break here in the next minute or two. So what I want to do is, for this next segment in particular, I really want come up. I want to hear some of those stories because I think stories really resonate with the people that are listening. And I would love to hear, you know, the moment that someone gives their life to Christ. One of the great things about Crusade or CRU is that discipleship is profoundly at the center of who they want to be and who they want to raise up. And that is, that conversation is so important to not just college campus. That is the crisis in America, mm-hmm. is the inability to create disciples. And so what I want to do, if it's okay, I want to talk about a couple of those stories, just the recency of seeing people come to know Christ, because I don't think you take it for granted, but I know you get to see it more often than others mm-hmm. do. And so I want our audience to hear what that's like. But then I also want to talk a little bit more about that moment that you begin the discipleship process with someone, because I think that it would be incredibly insightful. And in some ways, a conversation I've even had recently is where I just came to the realization that I was discipled through a ministry very similar to CRU, But I am now leading people that have not had the experience of truly being discipled. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. it has just flipped my world upside down going, oh, okay, this is a real problem. Not that you're overwhelmed, not that you can't do it, but somebody might be listening going, man, one, I don't know if I've been discipled. Two, you know, I have been discipled, but I don't know that I know how to do that well. So when we come back, I want to hit on that a little bit more. Brett, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's huge. And I think that it's, as you mentioned, Ryan, it's the crisis of the church today. And I'd like to hear more about that. And then maybe a little bit later, get into some of the international implications of just being at a school like UB.
Yeah.
And I think that'll play well to our huge Toronto audience that we have, too, even with, not just with the University of Toronto, but just Toronto in general.
Yeah.
Just that the world is coming to us now in America.
Absolutely.
And the gospel is not a white Anglo-Saxon, really Saxon, Ryan?
I'm just going to let you keep talking.
American, Anglo-Saxon. The gospel is not an Anglo-Saxon like entity. It is a world calling, and I think it's really cool how the globalization of the world actually benefits Christianity in that way. And maybe get into that after we connect more on a personal level. Yeah. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy, and Dan Trenda joining us in studio today. We'll be back in just a minute.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. We welcome Dan Trenda in studio at WDCX here today. And Dan's part of CREW, which is the old Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CREW. And in the Buffalo area, he's the team leader and involved in a number of different college campuses here in Western New York. And if you've just joined us, we've been talking with Dan this week. We are talking with him. And last week, we've been talking about college ministry, God's call on his life to reach college-age individuals, and just the unique and special, I guess, for lack of a better term, fertile soil that is in the college environment today. And Dan, I think Ryan was going to ask you about just some stories and some things that have happened that have developed as part of the CREW locally here in Buffalo, and just some wins that you've seen.
Yeah. Well, one story that maybe includes most of the steps along the way, instead of bouncing around for different people to have to jump streams, was a student who got involved with us very early on at Buff State. Actually, we had just started that campus. He came to one of our initial interest tables and checked a couple boxes. You know, we try to, you know, be in a high traffic area just to have exposure. And we have a short 1-minute questionnaire that people fill out. And if they have any interest, they can check a box. And so this guy checks the box. He was a successful college athlete. He had a lot going for him. He had a kind of moderate religious background. And so he thought, oh, sure, you know, but I followed up with him and invited him to some of our events. And he actually showed up to one. And so I remember going to the Starbucks down on Elmwood and just walking through the gospel clearly with him, just using that inroad. He came to an event and was willing to hang out with me afterwards. And so we just walked through piece by piece. And he wasn't ready at that point. And so it was a months-long process where he was kind of investigating and kind of digging in for him personally, what would be the roadblocks to really giving his life to Christ. And it was actually at one of our conferences, what we do in the fall, what we call our fall getaway. And he, at that point, was ready to give his life to Christ. And it was 7 months later. And from there, we got to see the fertile environment that Ryan was mentioning before the break of the college campus and what that looked like for him in terms of discipleship. And that's when it began for him, was the fall of his sophomore year.
Wow. Now, one of the things that, you know, I was talking about prior to the break is, you know, you get to see this much more regularly than the average follower of Jesus. And I'm not speculative on that. I mean, I collect data on this, so, 'cause this is part of what I do for a living. And so the fact that you get to see, you know, more than one person come to know Christ in a given semester, I'm sure that's happened. Mm-hmm. It's a phenomenal experience, number one, just mm-hmm. seeing that point of, you know, just walking with this friend over a period of months, being willing to have pace with where he's at, being sensitive to where the Spirit, you can sense the Spirit is moving, not just, I'm going to proclaim. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that you do well. So this person gives their life to Christ, right? So it's an amazing thing. But I know, and you know this, that Crew has a real, very intentional focus. As that person gives their life to Jesus, this idea of win, build, send comes into play. And that hits on this aspect of that we have a discipleship crisis in the United States. And so I'm wondering if you can just let people in a little bit to when someone comes to know Jesus, the goal in the life of Crew, we have a very specific thing we try to do with these folks. Mm-hmm. Let us into that a little bit. Tell us a little bit more of what that looks like.
Yeah. Well, right now the statement that we have Crew nationally is what we seek to be is a caring community passionate about connecting students or people, if you're looking beyond the college campus, passionate about connecting them to Jesus. And so really the caring community is what we really want to draw them into, and that's what we'd mentioned last week. There's a lot about the college campus environment that really works well for what we do, even though, as has been said, it can be kind of a scary place. The ideology that's associated with especially state schools, research universities, can be difficult, but the cultural environment in terms of just the pace of life and how much life is shared is great. They live in the dorms, they eat in the same cafeterias, they go to the same lecture halls, and so they rub up against each other a lot. And so what we try to do is introduce three elements of discipleship into that context, which that context provides us a lot of advantages because there's so much life-on-life overlap for college students. And so the first one is just biblical content, that we feel like God's the one that's going to shape them, not how cool our community is or how interesting our events are. But we really want to see all of us, you know, from myself all the way through to the first, you know, the new involved person to be shaped around God's word. And so we're very intentional, of course, like many, to create opportunities to do that. What we call our Bible studies on campus community groups, and we rally around that, our weekly meetings, personal one-on-one time, et cetera. The next portion is just relationship. So first is biblical content, then relationship. We want to be very intentional to build relationship and then to have, you know, some sort of, you know, whether you call it accountability or just talking about real life struggles, not just to compare notes, not mm-hmm. just to hang out and you know, share a common interest together, but to really talk about how are you growing, how are you applying what you're learning in Scripture to your life. And then the third would be to actually have a field ministry experience. And for us, that's primarily evangelism with other college students. And so if they're learning and growing in the Word, if they are growing in a personal connectedness in this community that we're talking about, then we want to give them clear opportunities to actually have an impact sharing the gospel with their friends and classmates. And this is one where we really do have, despite all the struggles of being on a college campus that's not favorable to Christianity by any stretch, we have a lot of advantages because if a sophomore comes to Christ, the junior, let's say, who led him to Christ can immediately start hanging out at the cafeteria and invite mm-hmm. him into a community group to study Scripture together yeah. with his friends. And if this sophomore who just came to faith has friends who might be interested, they can all be a part of that same mix.
Yeah.
And so for us, the way that we can see that reproduced is like you said before, right? It really is a privilege, and we try not to take it for granted because it's significant, and that's something that we hope begins and grows more and more for students on the college campus, and then that's what graduates, so to speak, into, of course, missions work, pastoral work, as well as just lay leadership in the local church, both in Buffalo and beyond.
Yeah, that's encouraging to hear. Is it, you know, when as this is happening and you're seeing these sorts of transformations happen in life, there's got to be a moment where you just stand back. And you know what does that look like for you when you know your title is team leader, all right? Mm-hmm, so you're leading mm-hmm. a team of volunteers, mm-hmm. and you're trying to get them to prayerfully consider this, but also just be prepared to engage the lostness of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have those moments where you stand back because I know it's what you do. For those who have never, I did this for 7 years, and you've done it for 12, so you've already outpaced me. This is hard work.
Yeah,
it is in many respects it's thankless work. Mm-hmm. It's hard work. But there are moments. There are plenty of moments where you put your head in you know into your pillow and go, Lord, what am I doing? Right? We've had those moments.
Sure.
But there are some very sweet moments where you get to step back. You know, what does that feel like for you when you get to stand back and see that?
Yeah, that is really the stuff that keeps me going. Other than just a confidence that this is what God's called my wife and I to do in this season of life. This is our, as best as we understand, this is our contribution to building His kingdom. And so ultimately that would be enough to carry us along. But yeah, practically speaking, when I get tired and exhausted, I think about, you know, for us just within Crew last school year, we saw 20 students come to faith in Christ personally, not mm-hmm. including larger group events. I mean, I can name the student who sat down with another student personally to share the gospel with them and see them come to faith. And so we gather together in all kinds of times, just try to lift up what God's doing and share those stories. It never gets old. I mean, literally never gets old. Now that our team is larger, we have 12 full and part-time staff, as well as a number of volunteers and involved. And so the more that my job changes, the less I get to see that firsthand. Like the story I was mentioning at Buff State was when we were starting out early, we were small when we just had a few students involved. Now it's close to 300. And so my job has changed quite a bit, but still hearing those stories and the times that I can be a part of it is really significant. And then even in the discipleship process, anytime someone really moves away from something that was either overt or just internal sin that was just held them down. They were truly enslaved to sin. When you see them break free from that in the midst of the pressures of the college environment, I was just meeting with a guy yesterday who is on an athletic team, and he's the only believer on that athletic team. And just talking with him, praying with him, talking specifically about how to represent Christ on that team, because it's just, I mean, it's really, really difficult. And so when I see a guy like that who's a senior leader on his team who's really living for Christ, I think this is absolutely worth it. You know, as much as I would have loved going into engineering, that was my degree of study in undergrad, this is so fulfilling. Even though I wish it happened 90% of the time that those stories happen instead of 10 or whatever it is, but it's not mine to pick the fruit. I can just keep being faithful to what God's called me to do.
You know, guys, Dan brings up an interesting question as we've been largely gearing our discussion around evangelism, new convert, moving to discipleship, moving to, you know, on in process of spiritual maturity. But there are there's a segment of kids who are growing up in Christian homes who are leaving their faith when they get to college. And I'm wondering, as you kind of mentioned the stories of helping everyday kids or Christians deal with the college environment, the temptations, the internet, the things that are out there, there's a certain aspect of crew that as a Christian kid goes to a college campus, can find support and help there, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's another one of my favorite stories is a guy who's one of my best friends now. He came in, he's from the Rochester area, came from a great home church, really was living it out as well as you could imagine a high school kid doing so. He came to Damon College here, and it was just unbelievably difficult for him. He would say afterwards that if it weren't for crew, he would have left college, he would have transferred out of there. I would have gone somewhere else, but he got connected with us his freshman year and got connected with this community of people, students, both Damon and around the city, and God just got a hold of his life in a significant way. And so he began to, like we just described, you know, he was already a believer, but he began to grow in that discipleship context and have opportunities to really live out his faith in this collegiate environment where they know so many people. They have every class they're ever in, every place they ever live, you know, every group, every, you know, the degree program they're in. They have so many relational touch points that it's not like we have to say, oh, it's just these three people in the cubicle. They know all kinds of people that they can share their faith with. And so if they're just in a community that encourages that, gives them some practical tools, and pushes them, you know, alongside of us to just take a step and trust God with that. He really did this. And that was part of his growth process. And when he graduated, he felt like God was calling him into full-time ministry. And so that was not on his radar before, and he's just finished a couple years in East Asia and is coming back actually to join our team. He's probably driving back from training right now, and he'll be raising his financial support to join our team. But he, you know, came from a solid Christian background, and he would have absolutely fallen by the wayside. You know, he would tell the story if it weren't for getting involved and connected.
Just have a couple minutes left, Ryan. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
No, you know, it's just there's an aspect of me where I there's a part of me that reminisces about this. Like I was literally on texting with the guy who helped lead me to Christ last night on the college campus, and the conversation that we were kicking back and forth was the difficulty of, you know, it in some respects it's conversion. In many ways, you see conversion in terms of, oh, what you just said, I do believe that. I want to accept that. But the actual long-term manifestation of what a disciple really is, that is really a difficult thing to do. And as you were talking, I just couldn't help but be thinking back to some very specific names that will mean nothing to people that hear them, but Jim Poorman, Matt Hildebrand, David Dorch, and Mike Caron. Those were the four most influential people in my life. And because of their influence in my life, I can also recite the names of Richie Dybel, Matt Robinson, Rob Warren, Andy Grubb, Kevin Swantek, Walter Nealand. These are names that won't mean anything to you, but what that represents is the people who invested in me, that because of that I was able to invest in them and see them grow and walk in their faith in Christ. My greatest lament in all of this, honestly, is that most Christians won't get to experience this. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to maybe take our last segment to really kind of provide a spark of hope, a spark of, it's God's not done with you. If you're listening and you desire this, like, this is not just for Dan Trenda. This isn't just for Brett Larson. It's not just for Ryan Cozy. God wants you to be a part of this. And the fruit, he's going to control that, but you can absolutely be a part of something like this.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy, as we do every week here on Christ Together Radio. In our last little segment here, last few minutes of this program, we want to wrap up a couple weeks of having Dan Trenda in studio of Campus Crusade for Christ, of CRU, which is formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. Yes. And a great organization. And if you're just joining us, yes, that is the organization of Bill Brighton. And wonderful, if you've heard of the Four Spiritual Laws, maybe you had that track sitting in your church little track bin for many, many years of the Four Spiritual Laws. Wonderful plan of way just to think in like a linear, systematic order of presenting the gospel. That's all it was ever meant to be. And just make it easier for folks to spread the gospel. This last segment, we were just talking about just the value of giving young men, because we're men, but and women, mm-hmm. opportunities to mentor along. And it keeps dawning on me, Ryan, as we've had this conversation on this show so many times about how our academic mindset in America and even in the church is largely Greek, right? It's just listen to me, impart my knowledge on you, and mm-hmm. then do, you know, where the gospel is set up around a Jewish system of,
yeah.
I think you always said, let the dust of your rabbi
cover you. You know, the Socratic method of, you know, yeah. higher learning, individualism, yeah. rabbi is, man, yeah. you may be covered in the dust of your rabbi. It just means yeah. you wanted to be with your rabbi
yeah.
everywhere you went so that they could impart knowledge to
true
you.
True discipleship.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just attaching yourself and mentorship and with other guys in the room, and just how valuable that's been to you. And that is a real benefit, that you have a natural inbred benefit to the college campus, is that these guys, they have time and ability and location all yeah. working for them
yeah.
In this environment. And what yeah. an opportunity. And I was actually shocked to hear how many students are at Buff State. Ryan, Ryan has something to say in just a
yeah.
second, but maybe you can share that in a little bit. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. I want to take a little bit of a risk here, just talk about from the break. I'll be vulnerable here, but yeah. you know, we were talking offline, and I want to really hit on this because I think that this is like, I want our listening audience to not lose this. When we were offline, I was talking with Dan and Brett, and basically the people who were an influence in my life. I mentioned those names, Jim and Matt and David and Mike. You know, I there was no place for me to talk about struggles with pornography. There was no place for me to talk about struggles with lust and all the stuff that comes with it. There was no place for me to talk about the challenges of my home upbringing. There was no place for me to talk about how do I handle money? How do I share with people that I don't think I've got it all together. In fact, I'm pretty confident I'm a train wreck and I need some help. And this is what discipleship ultimately did. This is, if you are listening and you don't have that type of a friendship in your life, might I just challenge you and encourage you to understand that the deep love of Christ and what we gain by being in a discipleship community, what you are missing out on something if that's not a part of what you get to experience. And Dan, in some ways, he's got one of the coolest jobs in all of the region, that he and other staff members they get to hang out with college students. And yeah, he's a dad, he's a husband, he's trying to live in the real world. And but he also, part of his job description is he gets to walk faithfully with folks who exercise a receptivity to the gospel. And I'm just so nervous at times when I think about our audience, because I think that there are many people who may not be in tune with the idea that it is a narrow road, and that giving your life to Jesus involves much more than a transaction of I've got my get out of hell free card because I have Jesus. There is such a deeper realm to following Jesus. And if you don't have that, I really would strongly encourage you to consider seeking that out. And maybe we can even help with that process. So I'm sorry I cut in on that. I just felt like that was a moment I just didn't want to miss out on. So sorry about that.
That is huge. And Dan, you've even mentioned over the years, you've seen this play out in reality. And I was just going to say that I was surprised of the volume that has happened in Western New York, that it seems that there really is a hunger, Ryan, for the narrow road, for giving their life to something. And this generation of what we call millennials, although I think we're kind of leaking past that, even the kids growing up now are younger than millennials, the new generation. I don't know what it's called.
Generation Z is the earliest label I've heard. Too soon
that,
to tell.
But there is a true opportunity here because they are seeking something of substance. And it's almost like they've been so bombarded with digital and technology and manufactured that they're looking for authenticity any way they can find it. We see this. I'm kind of a nerd, and I was reading about like Swiss watches and about even I'm a big shooter. So even in the firearms community, like the millennials love revolvers, old fashioned stuff. They're seeking something of substance that had something custom to it. And that's a real opportunity for you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's, we talked about next steps, what could people do to engage in this personally? And even what you just shared, I appreciate, Ryan, because we talk about this, for me personally as a guy, I talk about this with my men's groups, that you can give the gift of being vulnerable first, that oftentimes to have the depth of relationship necessary to really grow deeply in the gospel, not just have it be platitudes and sermon outlines, it's never meant to stay there. And I think we all know that, but what do we do to help it, kind of along in that process? And I think to really get real about struggles, that's something that we find over and over again, that, like I shared, is so essential to our discipleship process, that people can be accountable for the areas that they really want to grow in. Not just to say, hey, you didn't do it right this week, do better next week, but to actually enter right. into what do we do with sin and failure? And in some ways, I feel like that if there is a crisis of discipleship, I tend to agree with your assessment, Ryan, that part of me thinks that's due to a weak theology of pain and suffering. Because the students that are coming from increasingly broken homes, they have increasingly on display lives that if they aren't all that they feel like they should be cracked up to be, there is, the research just says the more you're on Facebook, the more depressed you likely are. I mean, that's from what I've read. And so that's what they're going through. So you don't have to get far beneath the surface to see the need. And you can do this with any generation at any time, but specifically in what we're talking about today, if you can begin to get in touch with the what you're going through and what you're growing through and how your own sin and struggle connects with that, the authenticity of that does really connect with all generations, but I can for sure say with young people, with college students, millennials.
It's just you can just see the need out there. You can sense it just in people who are involved in ministry. And Ryan, you said earlier, ministry does get tough no matter what you're doing for anything you're doing for the Lord, whether you're a volunteer at a church. And you're just you're in the kids ministry and they're driving you crazy.
Whatever. It does, and to be honest, I sit in this conversation as a pastor, and one of the things that is really hard in all of this and it makes you long for the days that you weren't a pastor, because not that I don't appreciate being a pastor, but just candidly, when you're a pastor, for whatever reason, the assumption is you have no marital struggles. You have no challenges in the family life. You have everything's tight and right financially. Because you're a pastor, you finally have arrived. And there is prior to that title, there is much freedom. that one can have. And it's not freedom from the standpoint of license to sin and license to do more, but rather just to be like, yeah, you know what? It was a rough week this week. It wasn't great at home. Our marriage is struggling. Raising our kids, it's really difficult. Here's something we're dealing with. And, those opportunities, those environments, college students, they have this unbelievable opportunity. And, my hope is that they'll actually be able to take that with them. Because I sit in this conversation as well as someone who is a part of what Dan was experiencing, but I don't get to taste that as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that I'm remembering, going, man, I really miss that. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's a selfish missing of it, but also it is. I think it was a deeper realm of discipleship that I want that again. I desire that again, and I need to fight for it.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about, that, as we've said, if we can have that experience when the circumstances are set up well for it in the communal environment of the college campus, if we can have that experience, then those Christ followers that graduate can export that everywhere, because it's really challenging. I remember when my wife and I had our first child, and we were just, our life was wrapped up around a schedule of an infant and their timeline, and the opportunities we had to build friendships and connect, whether it's non-believing neighbors or just even close friends, just as peers, it's really hard. Yeah. And if I didn't have that shaping and formative experience of my own college days and beyond, we've got to fight for this. We've got to keep moving towards this. And that's part of our hope, is that we would, as Christ followers, take full advantage of the opportunity on campus, and that we would trust God to bring that to other environments where it probably is a little more challenging circumstantially, but no less powerful spiritually. Mm.
Ryan, I think coming up, one of the upcoming programs is going to be a little bit about leadership and leading through change and challenges in organizations. Yeah. And that is one of the challenges of leadership as you advance and kind of mature and you get to a certain level in an organization, you have more people under you, Dan, and it grows. Mm-hmm. And you begin to take a different macro perspective, and you're not quite in the trenches as much anymore. Yeah. And you don't see the wins firsthand, and you have to let others see the wins. Mm-hmm. And your role changes, and that can be a little bit depressing and a little bit difficult.
You start coaching through the wins as opposed to being the player.
So you're not firsthand in it, and I see that here. It's nice to be on the air and hear back live, like some of our hosts or just out in the community. It's tough, but there's a certain role there that's of value too. But it's one of the difficulties of leadership, Brian, that at some point we would need to talk through, because
absolutely,
there are people who are, working their way, quote unquote, up in an organization, and it can be difficult, and there can be certain depressions or issues that come along with that, especially in the work of the ministry, because our reward is eternal, that we're taking people to heaven with us, and that can be sometimes when you're laboring and not feeling that and not having the relationship around that can be tough too. So Dan, it was great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me
last few weeks, and I was just praying for crew and for what God would have you do. Great organization, Ryan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Dan, thanks for coming in. A couple of things. One, I think when we start talking about more missional stuff as shows come up, I think I'd like to have you come back on if you're open to it. I think we would be blessed to have that. I think of him and Mike White in particular, and Jim Murphy, but I also want people to know, if they're interested in maybe coming alongside and financially or otherwise supporting the work of the ministry that you're doing, how can they get in touch with you, Team Trenda, right?
Yeah.
But then also, maybe people are thinking, like, I want to get involved in college campus ministry. I miss it. I want to get engaged again. How can people get in touch with Dan Trenda?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'd say briefly is that wherever you call a home in terms of a local church, we'd love to work not only with individuals that are passionate. We would, of course, love to have people do that. But as we shared even last week, we want to see broadly the body of Christ involved in outreach, evangelism, discipleship amongst college students. And so we'd love to not only see individuals, but also entire churches that are feeling like this is a burden on their hearts. And so anyone that wants to can contact me at dan.trenda, T-R-E-N-D-A, dan.trenda@crew.org. We'd love to hear from you.
dan.trenda@cru, crew,
that's
not
good.
C-R-E-W.
Correct.
C-R-U.org?
.org.
.org. Dan, great to have you.
Thanks.
We'll be thinking of you in our prayers here at WDCX, as we love Campus Crusade and Crew and the ministry of Bill and Von Upbright, and just a life well lived. And, you know, that's a whole nother episode, right, what we have to do, Ryan, of those who have gone on and lived their life well and heard well done, good and faithful.
Yeah.
And just how much we can learn from those who have ended well.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's a whole nother episode. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy and Dan Trenda from Crew joining us in studio today. Make sure you join us every week here on Christ Together Radio, Saturdays at 9, Sundays at noon on WDCX.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.